Our scripture for this morning, we read the scripture as we begin, because I have been trying to be faithful to preach from the Word. It's the only way I know to do it. And so our scripture for this morning is from 1 John, the second chapter, a couple of sections, 12 through 14 and 28 through 29. And this is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I read from a number of different translations because I believe all the translations are good, and yet some of them are a little bit more readable in a way, or some of them are the kinds of scripture you've learned all your life and you want to hear it that way. So we read from King James, we read from the New International Version, we read from the Christian Standard Bible, we read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible, we read from the Living New Testament, the Living Bible, and so this is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. You'll find the scripture on the back of your bulletin. Verse 12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus' name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you've come to know the one who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have had victory over the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have had victory over the evil one. And then in verse 28 and 29. So now, little children, remain in him, so that when he appears, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and to our hearing of it. I think it's a bit amazing that this Sunday turns out to be Boscadel Church's Children's Sunday. For several years now, as a special part of our annual Christian home emphasis during May and June, we always have a Children's Sunday on the first Sunday of June, like today. So we've been doing this for a long time. It just happens that we're doing it again today. We have some guests here this morning, and so I want to give just a little bit of explanation. During this time that we call Christian Home Emphasis, we have the Sundays of Mother's Day, Father's Day, a special graduate Sunday, and in the mix there has always been an emphasis on the children in the home, and that's our Children's Sunday. And so what's amazing about this day falling on Children's Sunday is that today, this very one special day, we have witnessed and shared the joy and celebration of dedicating three new children in Christ's care in our Boscadel homes. In the lives of our young people, we have the hopes of tomorrow. Children to youth is that time in our homes when it spells out hope and strength and enthusiasm for the future. In the Apostle John's first letter to the churches, he expressed very clearly and emphatically the faith that he had in the younger ones of the families of his day. And verse 14 pretty much sums up the depth of his faith in the children and youth that he knew and loved. I have written to you, young men. Well, I'm going to stop right there for a minute because I want to clarify something here. This applies to all the people of his references. It applies to children, applies to youth, it applies to adults. When he writes to young men or to fathers, as in verses 13 and 14, it is because of the very strong masculine gender bias of that day. Everything that was written had the male reference, just because that was the way the writers wrote and the readers read. It's their normal frame of reference back at that time. It was just assumed that the girls and mothers who read this would know that it applied to them too. And incidentally, that's why some of the modern translators, such as the NIV, have assumed that 2,000 years later, modern Bible readers wouldn't know that that's the way it was back then. And so they've done their own editing, and they've changed things like where Luke, all through the book of Acts, and Paul in his letters, wrote brethren. The NIV changes that to read brothers and sisters. Don't want to leave anybody out. A good example of that, if you want to see it, is in Romans, the 7th chapter, of the first verse. And if you take a look at that in the King James and take a look at it in the NIV, you will see the difference. So back to our concern for today. John writes, I have written to you, young men, excuse me, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have had victory over the evil one. John is writing to the young men and the young women of his day, and I'm going to also assume the older children. In this passage that we're looking at, he writes for three reasons. Because he says these young people have had an obvious strength in them. An obvious strength in them. And because he had a great desire to see that God's word, biblical instruction, and truth would be in and remain in them. And then third, he wanted to be sure of this because he knew their parents, and he knew from the time that these younger children and youth were born into this world, because of their Christian homes, he could believe that what they had been born into would remain in them. And John believed that this was a fundamental key to these youngsters, little children, he called them. As he started this section in verse 12, the key to them writing to them, he is living a life of victory over Satan, the evil one. And he writes, you are strong, he tells them, and he tells their parent leaders. God's word is to remain in you. And then he gives this charge to them. Since you have been born in him, remain in him. And he says, with all of that, yes, you can overcome the evil one. So he starts with the affirmation, you are strong. I'm sorry, our Bosquedale folks are very used to this. I've only had this little throat problem for going on 2 to 3 years now. So I'm really sorry about it. I'll do the best I can. The strength about which John was speaking when he says you're strong was no doubt the strength of enthusiasm and a ravenous passion or a fervor. Now, we have been blessed with children growing into their teens are well aware that at times this enthusiasm and passion may be just a little difficult to live with. And this has caused some of us to feel that young people at times have strange and foolish ideas. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote, give me the young man who has brains enough to be a fool. I believe by this he meant that he would prefer to find a young man who got hold of an idea and had brains enough to pursue that idea all the way through to its desired outcome. didn't the people of Christopher Columbus's day call him a fool for pursuing the idea that the world was round? Didn't the people refer to Henry Ford as an impractical mechanic? The unquenchable passion and enthusiasm of youth with proper direction will, excuse me, I think I've got a little water here. This is water. Jesus is here, but he didn't change this. The unquenchable passion and enthusiasm of youth with proper direction will build up. Without that kind of proper direction, it may very well blow up. But I believe he was also thinking of a young person blessed with a vision. Having my younger brother visit this weekend reminded me of our trip to return to Germany a few years ago, and the reminders that we ran across there of Martin Luther. As a young man, Luther read God's word and he interpreted it for himself, and he had, as it were, a vision of a pure religion, that is, salvation through faith and not by man's works, as the way he read it in Ephesians 2:9. And because he was faithful to pursue that teaching of that vision, a great spiritual reformation took place. I'm also reminded of an old English shoe cobbler named William Carey. While he was still a very young person, he was working away at his cobbler's bench, and he developed a vision of a great spiritual need in India. And so at a religious meeting soon after that, he was asked to speak, and he was asked to propose a subject for discussion. But his heart was full up, and his vision and his burden were on him, and he had, while he was cobbling away, proposed for himself a subject. And this was his quote, and this is what he presented to that assembly. He says, whether the command given to the apostles to teach all nations was not obligatory on all ministers to the end of the world. He was with a group of ministers. Well, the old venerable moderator of that association reprimanded him and said, sit down, young man. You are a miserable enthusiast to ask such a question. When God wants to convert the world, he can do it without your help. And at least nothing can be done until a second Pentecost shall bring a return of the miraculous gifts. Well, that didn't faze him. Young Carey pushed forward until his vision became a reality and the Word of God was being preached in India and in other faraway places, kind of the father of missionary movement. The Church of Jesus Christ and the parents of that church, including our Boscadale Church, have a solemn duty. We are to give direction to great dreams and ideas of our children and youth that are generated by their times in our church settings and their hopes and visions and aspirations and ambitions may lead them to reach high and lofty goals in their futures. It is to such that beginnings such as a child dedication time may lead to great dreams and visions from our children as they grow in the Lord. And John's words of encouragement speak of potentiality. Many of the greats of history have accomplished some of their greatest achievements during their youth. At just barely past the age of 20, George Washington was already a colonel in the army. Joan of Arc had lived and died and gained lasting fame at the age of 19. Mozart, as just a youth, captured the heart of Europe with his symphonies. John Calvin had achieved great standing in worldwide theological circles by the time he was 21. We don't know what our children and youth will dream of, but yes, youth is full of potentiality. With strength and encouragement in our Christian homes, it can be the greatest strength of our nation. Lacking Christian influence in our homes, perhaps the wrong dreams of our youth could be our major national weakness. John writes that he believed the youth of the Christian homes of his day were strong, and we need to affirm that in our church families of today. His next point was an affirmation. should be our goal and our affirmation with the children of our homes. God's word, excuse me, God's word remains in you. You see, the strength of youth to whom John was writing lay in the fact that they had a knowledge of and a love for the Word of God. If our young people today are obedient to the teachings of God's word, because they have been taught to do what Jesus did, Jesus was obedient. With that inner strength of obedience, they will be able to avoid disasters. Because we know of dangers that are so prevalent in our modern society. And the first one of those that I want to speak to that we'd mostly rather not acknowledge, that is a possible fancy sounding, but really often a foundational problem. Religious regimentation. Religious regimentation without spiritual regeneration. And to simplify that, those are $20 words that mean children of church families are too often led to professions of faith and baptism and church membership without a real serious understanding of what they're doing. And we mean well, but we can easily rush them into thinking that we're doing right. And thus many young people have become church members before they have truly become completely, fully born again believers. Case in point, how many, what I'm going to identify as church children, have you seen who, as young adults, begin and continue leading a self-directed, not a Christ-directed life? Oh, sometimes, and hopefully, these adults, as they get older, return to a Christ-filled church life, realizing they were not living a spiritually regenerated life, and making a new and really, really, actually, a first full commitment to Christ. But their commitment as a young one was not a full one. Well, we hope for a full one. But for the strength of youth that John was speaking of, there must first be all of a personal confrontation with Christ Jesus and a surrender to Him as truly the Lord and Master of one's life. The truth of the matter is, modern pressures of worldly wickedness and wrong thinking, way too many examples of that. I could extend this sermon to great lengths, which I'm not going to do for now. But with these pressures on kids today, children growing into youth must have the knowledge of the righteousness of the Lord to help them in their fight against those kinds of evils. It was Euripides who said, "Youth is a curse to mortals, when with youth a man hath not implanted righteousness." You see, righteousness gets implanted in Christian homes and in Christian churches. Working together, the home and the church rightly teach and lead young developing minds and hearts. John wrote, "God's word remains in you." God's word can only remain there if it has been put there with an understanding of what His word is, and must be put there with authority to really be treasured enough to remain there. And then John joyfully comes up to the proclamation with these young believers. He said, "You have had victory over the evil one." Well, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? This great apostle John, no doubt, looked with great pride and joy on these young men of the kingdom to whom he was addressing himself. They had already acquitted themselves in his evaluation because they had come through the troubled waters of repentance. They'd reached over to the bank on the other side, that solid bank of faith in Jesus Christ, John's Lord and Master, and he saw their Lord and Master. Having victory over the evil one involves genuine inner depth and genuine full commitment. A person realizing their need beyond themselves and anyone else, beyond anyone. The need for the absolute lordship, the whole life direction of the sovereign Lord. And then turning to the only source of eternal salvation of life forever with God, all with total surrender of life's purpose, life's direction, and a path to walk during life on earth. You know, realizing your need for everything to be acknowledged as coming from the Lord takes an intellectual understanding that is on the right path of maturing. And getting and being on that right path is multiplied thousands of percentage points by being surrounded by and influenced by a Christian home and a Christian church. Too many young people try to be proudly independent, expressing no need for anyone. Total misunderstanding of life. Young people of our day, as in every other age of mankind, must have some reputable framework to be able to recognize themselves as sinners before God. And then they must have some framework to understand what repentance really means and be truly repentant for their sinful condition. And in repentance, rejecting, that is, turning away from sin. And to say it another way, older children, young people, must be aware of their sinfulness. They must be sorry about how and why they sin. And they must turn away as forever as possible from that way of life and thought. That, and that alone, will start a person to turning to the source of salvation. Today, even as what we may think of as our enlightened age, the recipe for salvation is the same it is as it's been from that day when Jesus died and rose again for any person's atonement and justification. And that is this exclusively: faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Finding that full path to taking Christ as Lord and Master finally means the offering up of a surrendered life to Christ. Young people who want the best out of life need to be helped to know that they can truly have no limits to what can be done in life spiritually and physically if they are in Christ and Christ is in them. When our youth surrender to Christ to serve Him as their true Lord, they can sing, well, maybe with my brother-in-law Joe here, this good song of the Christian life: I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Isn't this what we want for our youth and children in general? Surely our children and youth, starting here, these ones that we've dedicated our church support to today, let them dream dreams. Let them see visions. Let them swing into action. And let not even the highest mountain of obstacles along life's journey daunt them. Climb them, conquer them. Let them learn and know their Master and come to serve Him each day. And the challenge of the high mountainous obstacles will surely be flattened to an easy walk in life. And this is what we have to say to all of them. Today and always, let Him have His way with you. And Milton, you can say amen.
Amen.
There we go. Amen. Well, God bless us all. I will have to say that this is a very bittersweet day for the Combs family. We've become very much part of the Boscadale family, and we'll continue to be. We will continue to be. So, thank you for all that you have done to us, for us to make us have a joyful time here.